855. You can dial in toll free at 855-453. That's 1-855-450-3733. Joining you here tonight, it's Ian,
Jason,
and Luther.
We invite you over to our website at freetalklive.com. Those other talk show hosts in the business, they want to charge you for their sites. Most of them do. $5, $6, $7, $8 a month. We do it for free, so you can go over and download archives and get interactive with our other listeners. You can actually control the content of the site simply by submitting different show prep items. So you find something online that you think's interesting, you submit it as show prep over at freetalklive.com, and Free Talk Live, you know, you will actually then be able to, it'll come up on the site, you will then be able to vote as to whether or not you like or dislike the various different news items and videos or blog posts that might be posted there, and the most voted up will be pushed up to the front and the top of the website. So it's basically a social bookmarking site for our listeners, and I think you'll find it enjoyable and free, of course, over at freetalklive.com. Luther, tell me about this cop that was outfoxed by a 12-year-old girl, or the police being outfoxed by the 12-year-old girl.
All right, this comes from ABC News in Atlanta. A 12-year-old amateur sleuth beat police at their own game by cracking the case of who ransacked her late great-grandmother's home last month. Jessica Maple honed her detective skills at a junior district attorney camp in Atlanta this summer, sponsored by the Fulton County DA's office. Police told Jessica and her mother, Stephanie, that whoever robbed the home would have had to have entered with a key, since such large items were stolen and there were no signs of forced entry. But the curious 12-year-old, knew something wasn't right. Her parents were the only two people who had keys. She asked her mother to take her to investigate. Jeez. A few days later.
At age 12, you don't have your own key?
No, this was to her great-grandmother's house.
Oh, I
not
see.
Her house.
Sorry.
Yeah. So she went to investigate, and I went to the side of the house and looked at the garage. The windows were broken. There were fingerprints on the glass. Everything was ramshackled. There were clothes everywhere.
So the police completely missed this crucial evidence that there had actually been a break-in.
Right. Right. Oh, there's no signs of a break-in. Oh, did you check all around the house? Because
nope.
A broken window kind of sticks out to me.
Apparently they just walked in the front door, glanced around, and made a report.
Yeah. I went to the side of the house. Oh, I'm sorry. Not only did Jessica find a crucial clue police missed, but she took it one step further by visiting a pawn shop down the street.
Nice job.
Sure enough, she found her great-grandmother's furniture for sale.
Wow.
They weren't thinking, she said, of the robbers. They put everything in the same shop.
Apparently the cops weren't thinking either.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, how hard would it be? Like, if something's stolen, like, that's one of the first places I would think.
Standard investigation is to check
pawn
shops.
To the pawn shop.
But what's their incentive? There really isn't one.
Nothing.
For them. They're
going to
get paid regardless of a crime that's solved or not.
Right. Yeah, and that's not really what they're about. They're more about catching people in the act, which is easier to catch somebody with pot because it stinks than it is to catch a burglar in the act, because burglars will usually make sure no cops are around before they burglarize.
But burglary is a real legitimate crime.
Yes, it is.
As opposed to a victimless crime like pot.
Yeah, and sending cops after stuff like pot or speeding tickets, in my opinion, or seatbelt laws, if you happen to have one in the state you live in, or going after arresting people for not paying taxes, all this stuff deters from stopping real crime, which is what they're supposedly hired to do.
Because they're too busy doing piddly stuff.
Yeah, yeah. The easy stuff, basically.
The fundraising stuff.
Yeah.
Because they're not making money on catching the crooks that are stealing things.
Right.
They are making money from the war on drugs with their federal grants.
Oh, yeah. And if these cases go to court, they get found guilty. Around here, it's hundreds of dollars in fines if you get caught with pot.
Or if you catch a drug dealer with all his money, they usually just take that.
That's right.
Yeah. So.
Wow. Way to go on her part.
Yeah. So, the pawn shop manager told her that he knew of one of the guys well because he frequently brought items in.
Mm.
He even had copies of both men's picture identifications.
Busted.
Jessica called the investigator assigned to the case. He was like, "You beat me to this stuff." And I was like, "I did your job again."
Oh, snap.
Snap.
The gutsy crime-fighting preteen, accompanied by her mother, then went to one robber's home and confronted him. We went up to him.
Wow.
And I asked him why he did it, Jessica said. At first, he denied it, but then he confessed. Fulton County District Attorney Paul Howard told ABC News he was proud of Jessica. "It was incredible. She was so bright and had such a great personality.
Wait a minute. How come he's not saying, you know, citizens shouldn't take the law into their own hands. You need to leave this to the professionals. This little girl could have gotten hurt. These people are crazy.
I'm surprised that she didn't. You know, and that's kind of what I was thinking, that
usually
would be the response. Yeah, sure, that usually is the response. Especially like a 12-year-old girl going to a robber's house, you know, and confronting him about it. That could be dangerous. I'm sure she went with her mother.
Right, that's what it said. But even so, you could be dealing with some crazed meth head or something like that.
Yeah, you know, who knows why he stole, you know, and he might be desperate enough not to get caught.
Right.
So, it was pretty brave of her. That's pretty much the rest of it.
Wow, so she uncovered evidence that the police missed.
Obvious evidence.
Oh,
obvious
I'm sorry, evidence. Actually, despite all of the evidence, no arrests have been made by the police, who are in a different jurisdiction than Howard.
Oh, wow. So just failures all around. I mean, even when the little girl does their job for them, lines up all
hands,
the evidence.
Hands it to them on a silver platter,
She's got a confession. And they don't make an arrest.
And they still have the audacity to call it a justice system.
Yeah. Now, remember, this is the same place where the police broke into a 92-year-old woman's home and shot her to death over a drug raid.
Oh, wait, where is this?
Atlanta, right?
Atlanta. Oh, yeah, it was Atlanta, the grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Same place.
Wow. Didn't hear about that one, but...
Oh, yeah. She was in her bedroom, and she was hard of hearing and... hard of vision as well, unable to really see or hear too well, and, you know, cops do these drug raids at nighttime, so they're coming in, she's in bed or whatever, and she's scared to death, pulls out a little revolver from wherever she had it stowed, because she's not living in the best neighborhood in Atlanta, and proceeds to blast through the door, essentially, at the assailants, and, of course, the cops fire back and kill the woman.
Was this a case of them entering the wrong home, or were they looking for like a
I think it was a relative, if I'm remembering correctly, and I may not be. It was one of the
others. That's pretty common, too. I mean, like, putting cops into this situation where they're hyped up, they're amped up, you know, and I'm sure trigger happy, you know, is a bad idea, especially when they make so many mistakes like this.
Mm-hmm. So. An amazing story that you shared there, Luther. What was the source on that one again?
ABC News.
ABC News over in Atlanta.
Yep.
So the little girl uncovered, as you said, obvious evidence that there was a break-in when the cops said, it must have been someone with a key.
They didn't even try, apparently.
To investigate, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I would have been very interested to hear what their investigation consisted of. Like, literally, what did they do? Did they come in, ask a couple questions of the homeowner, and file a report? I mean, that's what it sounds like they did.
Yeah, but probably.
They're forced to pay for the service of police protection, and they're not doing a good job. It'd be nice if there was some competition, you know, if they could pay for different...
It'd be nice, but that's illegal, isn't it? If you try to compete with the police, they'll call you a criminal gang, they'll have you arrested under, like, the RICO Act or something.
Right, or a vigilante.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So the cops just fail all around, and two thumbs down for them. But, of course, if the folks in the area hear this story, and I would imagine this word is spreading about this, I mean, it's going to hit the news, people are going to be talking on the streets about how the cops blew it, and that'll likely result in other people telling stories about how the cops didn't do anything for them, because I'm sure these aren't the only people who've had their house broken into in this neighborhood. It's likely these people are very addicted to something, and that's probably what's motivating their break-ins. It's what, if you talk to cops, I'll tell you, 80% of all burglaries and robberies are people that are looking for money to buy some kind of illegal drugs, because the black market pushes the prices up and results in criminal activity happening. Mm-hmm. So likely people are talking to one another about how this is happening left and right, and the cops aren't doing anything. And there have been protests in Atlanta, of course, and a lot of cities around the country where people are very upset about the police. And usually the response on the part of the government people is to say, well, we hear your concerns. We're going to start a task force, and we'll investigate the police, and we'll create a police, what do they call them? There's like a citizens review board or whatever for the police in some places, and I think they created one of those in Atlanta now. So now we have citizens that are reviewing the police's activities, but it doesn't change
anything.
It's just
another bureaucracy to kind of get in the way of real change, people taking action.
It creates the illusion that there's some extra layer of accountability, when in point of fact, as you say, it is just another layer of bureaucracy on top of the monopoly system. And as long as it's a monopoly, nothing fundamental is going to change.
There's no reason for them to change if it's a monopoly.
Right, because they just keep getting funded year after year, regardless of the crap can service they're providing. 855-453, the toll-free number. Tell your cop stories. Ring up what you want. Free Talk Live.
Several days after the Patriot Act was passed, a printed version was made available for Congress to read. Yes, I said several days after the Patriot Act was passed. But that's not unusual. Congress routinely passes bills that has little or no time to read. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org, and I say it's time for a new American revolution with the slogan, no legislation without representation. Congress cannot claim to be representing us when they don't know what's in the bills they pass. They shouldn't take the words of lobbyists. They shouldn't rely on unelected staff. And they shouldn't take orders from the party leadership because, after all, they're supposed to represent you. At DownsizeDC.org, you'll find a bill that should be the law of the land. It's called the Read the Bills Act. You can read it at our website, DownsizeDC.org. Better yet, you can use our simple system to tell your elected representatives to sponsor the Read the Bills Act. Write it down, DownsizeDC.org.
Hey everybody, Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate. So you could lose money. Gold goes up and down. But every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery, so you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Hi, MZ from InfoWars team here. Are you tired of being a wage slave working for others who pay you peanuts and have little or no loyalty to you? There are limitless ways to go into business for yourself, but most involve substantial capital and risk. Alex Jones's InfoWars team is different. We promote quality health, energy, and skincare products using brilliant personalities and state-of-the-art media technology to spread a powerful message of health, wealth, longevity, and lifestyle. You can work this low-cost business as much or as little as you like. You define the reward level. Whether you seek a few hundred extra dollars per month or a six or even seven figure annual income, it's up to you. Best of all, this is a business that you can do spending time doing what you like to do. It's an asset that is yours to sell or pass on to your heirs. Try doing that as a wage slave. Want to find out more? Shoot me an email with InfoWars Team in the subject line and tell me a little about yourself. MZ@InfoWarsTeam.com. That's MZ@InfoWarsTeam.com.
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy three or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same-day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want. 855-453. That's the toll-free number. Brought to you by SACL CAI. They have a full orbit approach, to account recovery. It's really three companies in one. They do collections, early out billing, and they purchase charged off receivables. SACL knows the way they treat your customer reflects on you. Their staff is respectful. They record every call and have the best equipment money can buy, so your business is handled as efficiently as possible. See their banner right at the top of our banner column over at freetalklive.com. That, again, is SACL, C-A-I. You know, since we're talking about the cops, I've got a kind of a follow-up story here on something we covered thanks to a couple of our listeners who called in about this, and that was probably a year ago. It was about a year ago, actually, when a couple of listeners of Free Talk Live were arrested in California for holding a sign on the interstate there. It was November 29th, according to their press release here. Wheatland residents Benjamin and Russell Bartholomew will finally have their day in court to respond to charges stemming from their tax protest last spring. It was earlier this year. On April 28th, the brothers were arrested by Yuba County Sheriff's deputies and charged with wearing masks. The brothers were wearing Guy Fawkes masks while standing near a sign that read, "Taxes equal theft." They had taken the sign and basically, it was a huge sign. They'd strapped it to an overpass and were, I guess, standing there waving it at folks driving by. It didn't take long, if I'm recalling correctly, for the police to show up and then show up in force. So one car arrived and then more arrived thereafter. And, of course, the claim is that it's distracting. We can't be having this signage up over the highway here. Sure, those billboards are fine, but your taxes equals theft sign, that's distracting.
Right.
And you have masks on, and it's not Halloween, and in California, we don't allow that sort of thing.
Right. I think the wording they used was concealing. They were trying to conceal their identities.
Even though in the video footage that these folks have, and I'll see if I can pull up what I think it's Good Men Do Something, I believe is their YouTube channel or their Facebook. You can link to their video there. But Benjamin and Russell Bartholomew are their names if you want to find it. But they caught all this on video, and the police were accusing them of concealing their identity, so they lifted their masks and said, "We're not concealing anything. We're just wearing these masks for the theatrical effect."
Yeah, here we are, you know.
Yeah, so we're not concealing anything. But that didn't stop them from, you know, being arrested and charged with a bunch of nonsense.
It never does.
Here's the latest on the case here. This is from their press release to publicize their case. The masks popularized in the movie V for Vendetta are internationally recognized symbols of protest. The district attorney dropped the mask-wearing charge, but the brothers are still being charged with violating Penal Code Section 602F. That is, illegally posting a sign, and Penal Code Section 148A1, obstructing a police officer while attempting to discharge his or her official duties. Which sounds awfully familiar to me because I've been charged with obstructing government administration here in New Hampshire, which was a misdemeanor, and I faced up to a year in jail for doing that.
Yeah.
And in this case, the brothers are each facing a possible $2,000 fine and up to 2 years in jail.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow. Yeah, the website where you can see the video, or I'm sorry, the YouTube channel is Good Men Do Something, like you said.
All run together as one word, youtube.com/goodmendosomething.
Right, exactly, and it's like a 11-minute video, but it's really good. It has 5,000 views, so I'm glad they're getting publicity, and I'm glad they have this press release out.
Yeah, it's a smart move. I mean, if you want people to show up at your trial, you have to be the one who promotes it.
Yep.
You've got to be the one to send out information. If you want the press to show up, you've got to ask them to come. If you want activists to show up, you've got to spread the word. And so good on them. There's more here, though, from them. The brothers, one of them said, Benjamin said, "We're being punished for exercising our First Amendment rights to protest government tax policy." They're co-founders of Good Men Do Something and, they mentioned in their press release, members of the Free State Project. The police said it was illegal for us to wear masks and asked to see our faces, and we complied. We weren't arrested until one of the officers argued that taxes are not theft. They didn't really care about the masks. They dropped that charge, but they didn't like our message.
Yeah, what if the banner said, you know, "I love cops" or something?
Great question. That would be an interesting thing just to find out, see how long you could stand on the side of the road with an "I love cops" sign and
You know,
the exact same circumstances.
Call the cops on yourself, you know. Oh,
yeah.
There are some people out there with a sign. It's very disturbing. It could be dangerous.
Good point.
And they have masks.
Yeah, because if no one files a complaint in some places, then the cops won't do anything. But I don't believe that there was a complaint filed in this case. It was too fast. They were swooped down upon too quickly by the police for there to have been anyone who have complained. The cops saw it, and they responded on their own volition.
Sure.
The DA offered a plea bargain, of course, but the brothers refused the offer. Russell said the DA also offered to drop the whole case if we would just plead guilty to littering, like admitting that we dropped a paperclip or something. But we didn't litter. They wanted us to plead guilty to something we didn't do. And that just doesn't seem right.
Wow.
Attorney Paul Nicholas Boylan, who agreed to represent the brother, said, "I'm amazed this is happening at all." Attorney Boylan is also a professor of law and specializes in free speech issues. I can't say I'm not amazed. I mean, or rather, I can't say I'm amazed because this stuff happens all the time.
Sure, it's far too common to be surprised by.
He says it simply makes no sense. If an American citizen can be punished with a fine and face jail time for expressing their displeasure with official tax policy, then freedom of speech is meaningless and every member of the Tea Party should be in jail. If the district attorney plans on arguing that the California Penal Code prevents this kind of protest, then I'm reasonably confident that any jury standing judgment over my client's actions will agree that any provision of the Penal Code that limits the right to protest tax policy is unconstitutional. The brother's trial is scheduled to begin on November 29th, so about 2 weeks from now, at 8:30 in the morning at Yuba County Superior Court. So anybody that lives out in the Yuba County area that loves liberty, you probably should go out and support these guys.
Yeah, it'd be great. I've talked to them. I know they call into the show every once in a while, and Articulate Guy is really active, and I'm looking forward to them moving to New Hampshire.
Me too. Hopefully they won't be delayed by a two-year stint in jail as a result of this.
Yeah, need more people like that here.
Of course, the California jails and prisons are chock full of peaceful people. They've been building prisons at a clip that's fairly swift. However, they still can't hold people there. They've had to turn people loose, and if I'm recalling correctly, they were turning violent offenders loose as opposed to turning the pot smokers loose.
Isn't it amazing that like about 1% of the U.S. population is in a cage, which is the highest in the world, and yet they're still building more prisons, including here in New Hampshire. They're building one in Berlin.
Well, it's big money. I mean, it's big money for that bureaucracy. The more prisons they have, the bigger their budget becomes.
Yep.
And the more, the government administrators want to have more bureaucrats underneath them so they can have more, renown or power and influence. And so they all have reasons to advocate for more of this. None of them have any incentive to come out and say, yeah, we need to stop this war on drugs. We need to clear out these prisons here. We've got way too many folks in here that, okay, I take it back. Not none of them. There's one guy, Rick Van Winkler, the Cheshire County Jail superintendent, who actually is a member of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition and actually does go out and speak out against basically part of what his job is.
Yeah.
In fact, you actually went to, I believe he was speaking here locally at the local college. You went to that, right?
Yeah, exactly. There was a nice big crowd for him. I would say about 100 people in attendance.
Mostly college kids?
Yeah. For a Students for Sensible Drug Policy meeting.
Oh, excellent.
And some local liberty activists also showed up and asked some good questions. And, but Van Winkler doesn't, he wants cannabis to be taxed and regulated.
Which is the leap, the Law Enforcement Against Prohibition perspective. That's kind of what their official line is. And I don't agree with that, but I'd rather have that than have people being put in a jail cell for smoking it. 855-450-FREE, that's the toll-free number. We'll let you know more as we hear it about what's happening with the Bartholomew Brothers case out in California. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
You have storable food, filtered water, even shelter, but do you have a way to start a fire immediately? Now you can with InstaFire, a revolutionary, safe, simple, and versatile fire starter. InstaFire is a patented blend of volcanic rock, wood pellets, and paraffin wax that gets the fire blazing in just minutes. So just add water to your survival food and enjoy a hot meal in no time. InstaFire is self-sustaining fire and even starts right on top of snow or water or in any severe weather, even 40-mile-per-hour crosswinds. Sound incredible? It is. Check it out at InstaFire.com. A must for any preparedness kit, InstaFire easily lights with matches or flintlock lighters, is environmentally friendly, stores easy with a 30-year shelf life, is lightweight, comes in a variety of sizes, and starts at $1.25 for a single pack, or only $59.95 for a 5-gallon pail with free shipping. Go to Instafire.com, spelled Instafire.com, or call 888-482-4868. That's 888-482-4868. Safe, simple, versatile. Instafire.
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products, delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG. no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll free. Take control of the airwaves at 855-453. That's 1-855-450-3733. Coming up, the people for the ethical treatment of animals are going up against Mario. Luther's going to tell us more about that. First, we'll take your calls at 855-450-FREE. And I want to tell you about Pyramid Air. You can go to airgun.freetalklive.com and view the amazing Dragon Claw. It is an incredible 50 caliber air rifle. This thing can bring down a deer. Serious gun. These guys have been in business since 1993. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. They're the world's largest online air gun retailer, so as you imagine, they're selling more than just the Dragon Claw. You can get 10% off or free shipping, whichever is more valuable, with coupon code FTL11. So go now to airgun.freetalklive.com, check out the Dragon Claw, and then look at the rest of their selection, and get yourself an air gun or buy one for your kid or whatever. Go to airgun.freetalklive.com.
That's a really cool air gun, actually. I want to get one.
Have you seen it yet, Mark?
Saw Mark's when he first got it.
Okay.
And we discharged it outside just because we knew it was the air was already compressed inside it. Mm-hmm. It takes CO2 gas. You know, you don't pump it like you do a BB gun.
I was told there is a way to pump it.
Maybe there is, but it seems like that would take forever to get the right compression.
He said it did take a long time to pump.
Sure. So we discharged it outside, and it was as loud as firing a .22.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's going to be disappointed customers who think they're actually going to buy a Dragon Claw and then they get like an air rifle in the mail.
It's pretty obvious when you go to airgun.freetalklive.com that you are getting an air rifle. 888-262-4867 is their number. 888-262-4867. And I mean, this is a serious gun. This is not a gun that a child could even afford. It's a real serious weapon. So go and check it out. Airgun.freetalklive.com. Some interesting video footage there of what this thing can do. Let's go to Craig listening in Ithaca, New York, to WNYY. Hey, Craig.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
Super. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I was just listening to your story about the guys in California that got arrested for the tax equals theft sign. And you know, obviously, well, I don't agree they should have been arrested for how you describe it all at all. But I guess it prompted a question in my mind, which is, you know, I think that government should play a role. The people should be able to get together and agree to have taxes levied and collected for common good, right? So in a benign way, in a benign form, I think that the idea of commonly funded projects is a good idea. So I want there to be taxes levied and collected.
Well, what if I...
For things
what if,
that benefit everybody in a benign way.
What if I don't think whatever you think is benefiting me is actually benefiting me? What if I don't agree that it's benefiting me? Do you still have the right to levy taxes on me?
Well, I think that when you have an agreement among people that either an elected body will determine common good or a majority might determine common good, that even one person can't opt out necessarily to say that I don't want to contribute to the fire department. And, you know, let my house burn, right? And my house is right next to this guy's house, and I want you to put the fire out. So
you said it was voluntary first, but then you said that you couldn't opt out.
You know, the people could collect themselves together and say that they want something provided for the common good.
But what if one person doesn't want to be collected, you know, with this group?
Well, then I think that the group needs to determine whether or not the individual preferences, or if you want to call it rights, of one person can trump whether it's a safety issue or the desires of the commons, right? And my example of a fire department is probably a good one, where if we have houses right next to each other and your house is on fire, maybe even out of negligence of yourself, I want your house to be put out.
Well,
right?
If you
I don't
want
the fire to transfer to my house.
Okay. Well, then have the fire department protect your house. Like, if the fire starts coming over, you know, have them stop it. Or if you think it's that much of a threat, you said you want to put it out, you pay to put it out.
Well, why wouldn't the fire... Hold on a second. I think that seems a little callous
when
you come at it from that way.
You got to be better than that.
I can do better
argument.
Than that, Craig. Hang on. That was Luther that was bringing that one up. Think about the goodwill that a Hang on a second, Craig. Think about the goodwill, Luther, that a fire company could make for itself if it was willing to do like a charity fire put out, essentially.
Hey, you know what, guys? I got to drive. I'm going to turn you back up, but you guys keep on talking.
All right. Well, Craig, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. And that's a common complaint with the idea of getting away from this government monopoly on services, which is one of the things we advocate on this program, is that things should be done on a consensual basis. If 100% of the people agree to something, I got no problem with it.
Sure.
But if somebody wants to opt out, if somebody disagrees with something that's happening, they should not be forced to fund something. Now, realistically, you got to look at the way houses tend to work. If you bought a house, chances are you haven't paid cash for it. Most people don't operate that way. So chances are you've got a house that has a mortgage. And that mortgage is going to require you to have insurance. And in a world where you don't have a government one-size-fits-all monopoly fire department, then that insurance company is going to want you to have fire coverage because they're not going to want you to not have fire coverage. So just by the virtue of the fact of you having a mortgage, you're automatically going to be required to have fire coverage by the mortgage company. So that's going to solve it for like 97 or 98% of the houses out there. Now, there may be like the random chance that some crotchety old man has paid off his house and just doesn't give a flip, and so he's canceled his fire insurance. He doesn't have a mortgage anymore, so he doesn't even have home insurance. Doesn't care. He's just letting it ride. Mm-hmm. And so there's always that chance that crotchety old man is going to be living next to you, in which case it would make sense for the marketplace to come up with some sort of a solution to this instead of the callous solution of, well, let's just let that house burn down and screw that person. maybe the company would come by and put it out anyway, just simply as a community service. Maybe they would have a charity wing, essentially, like hospitals have charity wings where you can go and, you know, get treatment and not have to pay for it because the people that are paying for the their hospital stays pay a little extra and they donate to the charity wing. So in a similar way, there could be people who are kind of getting coverage by default simply because they have people living next to them that, you know, are paying for fire coverage, and therefore the fire company or the fire insurance provider wants to put out the fire, A, to protect their client, and B, to just simply, you know, create goodwill in the community. Walmart didn't have to bring a truck full of ice and water to Hurricane Katrina to help people out, but they did anyway.
Yeah, they got turned around, but they did bring it anyway.
They were turned around by the government, who refused to allow the truck in. So I think that we need to think a little further beyond the idea of, well, we're just going to let that house burn. What would a community who cares actually do in order to help out in that
actively
situation?
Actively put it out. That's what I would do. I don't see why that's not a viable solution. If your neighbor's house is on fire and you don't want your house to catch on fire, do something about it. Don't call into the radio show and laugh at me because I suggest that and then hang up.
1-855-450-FREE. But he brings up this idea about, well, we as a community, I wish he could have stayed because it's always interesting to hear this particular viewpoint, really kind of dig into it and ask questions about it.
Yeah, like what's he willing to do to those that will opt out?
That was going
to
be one of the questions that always should be asked. Okay, fine. You've got somebody that doesn't want to play along with your little program. Your majority has voted to do X, but we don't agree with it. So what will you do? And that's when it really comes down. You know, the person may not have ever really considered this before. They may not have ever really thought far enough along in this whole governmental plan of what happens to people who say no. Well, usually in our world today, it's you lose your home. Mm-hmm. You get kicked out into the street, possibly spend time in a cage. Is that something you want to do to your neighbors, your community, just because they disagree with you? Is that a friendly thing to do, a neighborly thing to do, to threaten your neighbors with violence?
Seems like we could be more creative than that to solve problems together.
Well, and you know what? The government is the haven for the people who are uncreative. You got a bad idea? Take it to the government. Because you can't, if it's a bad idea, you can't get people to come on board with it voluntarily. So you have to foist it upon them. You have to threaten them with some sort of violent consequence if they don't go along with it. And that's the hallmark of a bad idea, that you have to go to the government. More coming up here, 855-450-FREE.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. Are you looking for a concealed carry holster? Crossbreed Holsters is the home of the world-famous Super Tuck, the most comfortable concealed carry holster on the market today. Try one out and see how truly discreet and comfortable carrying concealed can be. And find out why we call it the ugliest holster you'll ever love. We are the standard others try to imitate.
Get the original. Get your Super Tuck at CrossbreedHolsters.com. Again, that's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The Ruger LC9, compact, powerful, and perfect for personal protection. The LC9 is only slightly larger than the popular Ruger LCP. Features a checkered grip frame to provide a secure and comfortable grip, and includes a finger grip extension floor plate. The LC9 also has a dovetailed high visibility 3-dot sight system, blued alloy steel barrel, manual safety, and loaded chamber indicator. The LC9, another innovative American-made product from Ruger. Learn more about the Ruger LC9 at Ruger.com/LC9.
Solar power.
Solar power.
Hand crank power.
Hand crank power.
Radio power.
Radio power.
The goods you want, the good deals you need to power up your survival are at 21stCenturyGoods.com. In our solar department, you'll find solar generator kits, solar lanterns, flashlights, radios, and solar cell phone and laptop chargers. 21stCenturyGoods.com is your hand crank headquarters for everything from generators to flashlights to emergency, weather, and shortwave radios by Grundig and Kato. Big brand names and big deals. Like this. Get a free solar flashlight with every order over $75. But hurry, offer ends soon. Go to 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. That's 21stCenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
Storable foods, check. Water filters, check. Gold and silver, check. Tactical gear, check. What's missing from your survival checklist? An essential that should not be taken for granted. Storable vitamins and nutritional supplements. Since many foods do not contain the essential micronutrients your body needs, you need Survival RX, the world's first ultra-long-term storable vitamins and nutritional supplements. How long? Survival RX products have a shelf life of up to 30 years, thanks to triple nitrogen flushing for guaranteed freshness. Go to SurvivalRx.com for our complete product list, including powdered milk and whey protein isolate. And remember, November is Nuclear Disaster Preparedness Month at SurvivalRx.com. With every order until November 30th, you will receive a free bottle of potassium iodate. Just enter coupon code RADIO. Go to SurvivalRx.com. That's Survival, the letter R, the letter X.com. Add SurvivalRx.com to your preparedness checklist today.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Mother Jermaine, and it's time for you and your thoughts. 855-453. That's 1-855-450-3733. Joining you this evening, it's Ian.
Jason.
And Luthor.
We invite you to our website at freetalklive.com. You can enjoy the site and the features there. Features including news updates. Get signed up. We'll keep you in the loop whenever there's something you need to know about Free Talk Live. Go to news.freetalklive.com. Get signed up for email updates, Twitter, Facebook. Follow us in whatever way works best for you over at news.freetalklive.com. Now, if you've ever been the victim of injustice and decided to do nothing about it because attorneys are too expensive, you need to know about jurisdictionary.com. It's the course for people who don't have attorneys. We can't afford them. I can't justify spending thousands of dollars on an attorney. It arms you, Jurisdictionary does, with the information on how to use the court's rules. Until you know their rules, you're fighting in the dark. It works for plaintiffs or defendants in civil or criminal matters in state or federal courts and costs less than an hour with any good attorney. It's a 4-CD course, and it's so easy the average 8th grader can learn it in a weekend. Jurisdictionary.com is where you can go and download free tools like their free legal dictionary, free weekly tips and tactics newsletters, their free videos, and you can buy their course at Jurisdictionary.com. If you use their pull-down menu, you can let them know you heard about it from Free Talk Live. That's jurisdictionary.com. As we continue with you and your thoughts, Chris is listening in California. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Jason, and Luther.
Hi, Ian. Probably don't remember me. I met you about 2 years ago. Went to a Thai place with Dale and wanted to say hi. But I wanted to talk about a volunteer fire department that we have here out in California. I live in a rural area. And they do an amazing job. I see them going by every once in a while. We do have a few fires out here, and it's all volunteer. They have a fundraising drive a couple times a year, and they just I've never seen a crew that does so well. And while I don't volunteer for them, I do volunteer work for some of the folks just to show my appreciation for them. And I just also wanted to tell a story. The neighbor's place had a fire next to it when I first moved in here, and I went down there as soon as I saw some smoke and started putting it out on our own. And we just do that around here. You know, you see somebody who's in trouble, you go out and you take the initiative and you help out. So I just wanted to point out there's other ways besides tax dollars to fund fire departments.
I'm glad you brought that up because if I'm recalling correctly, Mark is a volunteer fireman in his town. Mm-hmm. And in more rural areas, this is the way it's done. They're volunteer fire departments and, you know, they get the job done. They're going to put the fire out. Yeah. Hopefully it won't spread too far.
Why couldn't we have one in our neighborhood? You know, just because we're not rural?
There's no reason why you couldn't, but there's also no reason why it couldn't be organized in other ways where there could be some sort of profit-making company that does it as well. I mean, it wouldn't cost a whole lot of money to operate a fire department if you think about it. They're not getting a lot of calls to go to fires in most places.
Right.
So for the most part, it's going to be a money-making institution, and every now and then you'll have to make good on a fire that actually does consume a home or something like that. But volunteer fire departments, isn't it something like 80%+, 85% of all fire departments are volunteer?
I've heard high numbers like that. I'm not sure exactly, though.
But I believe they get a lot of their money for equipment from the government. But like
that is true.
The labor is volunteer.
That's true. But that's not to say that they couldn't otherwise fund it, right?
Oh, like, no.
There's obviously a lot of support for the idea of putting out fires.
Yeah, I think that was a bad idea earlier to say, you know, like, oh, well, what if there's a fire? Because, like, that's not easy to defend, you know, not wanting a fire department, I guess. So the caller earlier kind of put us on a spot there by using that example, I feel.
Well, it's fine. I mean, we don't mind being put on the spot.
Not at all. I'm just saying, you know, like, that's not the best example to use, really.
But it is an example that people are going to go to because it elicits emotion. And somebody who's advocating for taxes, which that caller was doing, wants to get you emotional over the idea of getting rid of taxes. My God, if you get rid of taxes, people's homes will burn down and no one will do anything about it. And I mean, that's what they want you to believe. But it is laughable. It is preposterous on its face simply because everyone wants fire protection. What person wouldn't want their home protected from fire? Like I said, only the crazy, crotchety old man out in the middle of the woods who doesn't give a damn.
I don't even own the home I live in, and I don't want it to burn down.
Yeah, exactly. It's just awfully inconvenient. Chris, anything else you want to share?
Nope, that's it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate hearing from you at 855-453. So here, a hint for you, if you're one of those people who you're still stuck in this paradigm of, well, we have to have taxes. What if people opt out? What will we do? You just look at the service that the taxes are providing and ask yourself, would someone want this service in the absence of taxes? Would this be in demand? This thing that I think is important, do others think it's important too? Well, yeah, they know other people think it's important. That's why they're using it as an example. They're bringing up fire coverage because they know inherently other people are afraid of the idea of their home burning down because they value the idea of fire protection. So they're bringing that up as something we need to have government for. But in fact, the fact that so many people can empathize with that position is an argument against why we need a monopoly provider on fire protection, in that the marketplace provides what people want. If somebody wants a gizmo to send messages to one another, they get it from the marketplace. If somebody wants fire protection, they're going to get it from the marketplace. If someone wants something to take them from one point to another, whether it be a car, a train, a plane, or whatever, they're going to get it from the marketplace. The people in search of profit, the people that are interested in providing services and products to other human beings, that's what they do. They try to figure out what people want and then provide it. And sometimes they're not right. Sometimes they make mistakes and they figure somebody's going to want this, but they're wrong about that. Like, oh, I think people are going to want ice cream and, you know, something that didn't work out in the past. And, you know, then they go out of business. But everyone's always wanted fire protection. Who has not ever? I mean, what homeowner hasn't wanted fire protection?
Right. Who out there wants to lose all their possessions and possibly injure themselves or their family?
Right.
Yeah. In Grafton, there's a free stater who moved up there several years ago, and he volunteered for the fire department. A lot of free staters up there have, actually. And he invested in these, I don't know what you call them, but you essentially throw them into a burning building or room, and then it just releases all this foam and pretty much will put the fire out.
Incredible.
Just like that. So there is technology that exists that one person can, if it's a small enough fire, can handle it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember reading a story out in California when they were having some wildfires out there that there is actually private fire protection available, but it's only available for very, very expensive homes because right now, well, everybody looks to the government for the service. But people that can afford the extra service are willing to hire the private protection companies because they do the job right. I mean, these guys came out and they sprayed a protective layer of foam around the edge of the property to even prevent the fire from even coming there in the first place. And they're monitoring actively what's happening with their customers' homes. I mean, that's real service.
Wow. And if they could compete openly with more companies, that would drive the price down. Everybody could afford it. My one experience with the fire department, my uncle had a fire in his backyard down in Florida. And he had already put it out, but he called the fire department anyway. He was a responsible citizen, figured he was doing the responsible thing. They came out and billed him because they had to bring the hook and ladder just because it was their regulation, even though it wasn't necessary. Yep. They had to bring out, you know, other trucks, you know, that weren't necessary just because it was their process of doing things.
Right.
And he had
you
to pay for it.
Just for making a phone call.
Yeah, even though he put out the fire.
Did he pay the bill?
I'm sure he did.
It's sick.
Yeah.
So it's not enough that you pay the taxes every year. It's not enough that I pay $6,000 in taxes every single year on my $200,000 home. That's not good enough. We're going to bill you if we come out.
Right.
So what the hell am I paying for anyway? It's just crazy. That stuff happens everywhere. Whether it's fire department or the ambulance or whatever, they send bills out to people. And, of course, they have no check. They have no competition in most places, although here in Keene, New Hampshire, there actually is a private ambulance service. And so they have, really, in most places, have no semblance of competition. And so, therefore, they can get away with not only charging you in taxes, but also billing you after the fact and billing you whatever arbitrary amount they want to bill you. There's been no agreement. I didn't sign an agreement saying I'm willing to be charged this on a call. And it would make so much more sense to have an insurance coverage. That way you're paying in advance. You know exactly what you're getting. You know exactly what they're going to do when they come out. You know what services you're contracting for. Mm-hmm. And there could maybe be some different level of service that's available to folks. And it wouldn't have to cost a lot. And you're right. The costs can come down if we just were to allow competition. Soren, you're on Free Talk Live listening in Ithaca to WNYY.
Maybe somebody out there can help remember this, but there was a story that appeared, I believe, in national media earlier this year, where some rural community, in fact, collected a certain fee in order for the fire department to clear the property. And there was a man who did not pay the fee. And the story was the fire department actually arrived at the property.
Yeah, we're kind of losing your call. You don't have the best phone, but I do recall what story you were talking about. And I wish I could remember all the details right now because there was some aspect of it that had to do with the government. It wasn't a volunteer department. It was basically the government saying, yeah, we're just not going to put this out because, you know, you haven't paid the fee. And so it was really callous on their part. But they were government employees, as I recall. We'll come up tomorrow. See you then.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Ovaltine. Give your kids the nutrition they need to be their best. Visit us at OvaltineUSA.com. Telling your child about healthy food choices is important, but showing her what to eat goes a lot further. Have her help create the grocery list, then bring her to the store with you. Picking out healthy foods together helps kids get in the habit of thinking about what they're eating every day. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
DigEdPress.com is your home for illustrated science fiction and adventure. Escape from Terra, Volume 2, continues the bold adventures of intrepid space pioneers as they find wealth, freedom, and a giant Elvis head in interplanetary space. Thetis Crumb is where Swashbuckle meets steampunk and this offbeat space pirate saga written by L. Neil Smith and illustrated by Scott Beezer. Both books are $14.95 each and available now at DigEdPress.com.